At O'Connor Hospital, we've been right here in your own backyard for 140 years. And from our long-standing dedication to our neighbor's health, we've perfected something we call Careology. It's the science of compassion and excellence, which all our doctors, nurses, and specialists are committed to. For us, Careology is more than procedure. It's personal. O'Connor Hospital, your community hospital. OCH.SCCGov.org.
Wednesdays on the Huge Radio Network are presented by Choice One Bank, your local choice for banking in West Michigan. And Choice One Bank continues to grow with their new downtown GR location on East Fulton next to Bagger Dave's, their commercial and home loan lending center. If you have a small business, you want to grow it, and that big bank just isn't working with you, well, guess what? Choice One Bank provides local choices. Also, you're looking for a home loan. You're just looking for a bank that's local. Turn to your local choice, Choice One Bank. Wednesdays on the Huge Radio Network are presented by Choice One Bank. Find out more at choiceone.com.
Do you know what time it is?
Do you know what time it is?
Do you know what time it is?
It's time for the Huge Show.
Call with your huge opinions at 1-866-838-HUGE. Email at thehugeshow.net. And now, from the Auto Value and Bumper to Bumper Parts Store Studios,
here's the huge one, Bill Simonson.
Started the 5 o'clock hour on a Wednesday afternoon leading into the evening. Hope you had a nice work day as you jump in your car and head home. Matt and Brad still sticking around with you, though, on the Huge Radio Network. We're broadcasting live today from our ESPN 100.9 FM studios high atop Dow Diamond in Midland. This is the home of the Great Lakes Loons and home of the only sports station in the Great Lakes Bay region. Again, Matt and Brad with you today discussing Michigan-Michigan State football, the biggest concerns and issues with them going into week four of the college football season. Michigan has Purdue this weekend. Michigan State has Notre Dame. And while there's plenty of time to preview those matchups tomorrow and Friday with Bill as he comes back to rejoin you on the Huge Radio Network, just looking right now at the biggest concerns and issues with those teams 3 weeks into the season. Michigan State, we've only seen twice, and against two MAC teams. I'm still holding out really on making any judgments on the Spartans. Struggle with their rushing attack, though, and that's one of the concerns that we mentioned in the last hour. And then for Michigan, Wilton Spate, in the red zone specifically, that offense has frankly not looked good at all. That is the biggest concerns for us for both of those programs. Give us a call on that, 1-866-838-4843, and then we continue to gauge the reaction from Monday night's win over the Giants for the Lions. They're 2-0, but as I'll continue to say, I'm still holding out judgment on a majority of the key points for them. Very high on the secondary, the offensive line, and Matt Stafford through 2 weeks. But again, Giants, Cardinals, I don't think you're any better than six-win teams. I'm still holding out until what we can see from them on Sunday against the Falcons. So we hope to talk to you about any one of those topics as we wrap up the show in the final hour on this Wednesday night. And to head to the phone lines right now and joining the show on their Miller Lite hotline, it is Brad. I don't think he's my twin. He's over in Bay City. And Brad, what do you have for us today?
Oh, how are you guys doing?
Great.
Good.
That's good. I'd like to talk about Stafford. You know, he's a fantastic quarterback, but the biggest thing right now with him is he doesn't have the immense pressure on him. He's got the ability to spread it out, like his passing attack, to wide receivers. He doesn't just have one wide receiver anymore in Calvin Johnson. He's got Galladay, Tate, Ebron. He's got so many different guys, and he has the running attack picking up for the Lions, which takes a lot of pressure off of him as a passer. And he has the ability to run. Are you going to see like 300-yard gains out of him? Yeah, it's very possible, but he doesn't have the pressure to make all those passes or the big plays that he used to when the Lions weren't a very strong team. Just give me your thoughts on that.
Well, what do you think that's from, Brad? Do you think it's because of the opponents that he's been playing or just because of the games that they've been playing in the game flow because they've been ahead early? He hasn't needed to pass. Well, we lost Brad, unfortunately. But, I mean, I think that's the question that needs to be had after a call like that. As someone who seems skeptical on the fact that he hasn't needed to make big plays yet, Matt Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'll say it. The Cardinals and Giants, they're no better than six-win teams. They're no longer considered playoff contenders, I don't think, in the NFC, as they were perceived to be, I think, to start this season. I think they've been exposed early on. And I think over the course of a 16-game schedule, you'll see that the Giants and Cardinals are not wild card contenders any longer in the NFL. So speaking to that, yes, he hasn't faced much pressure in getting these victories for the Lions because the opponent has not been very good. Obviously, he'll face that against the Falcons. He'll do it against the Giants. They have the Panthers coming up, who are a questionable 2-0 team. So, I mean, 2 weeks into the season, he hasn't needed to do much. But that should be good news, right?
It's good news, but I'm more on the side of I'm taking more positives from these first two games. At the end of the day, in my opinion and in my view, it's the NFL. All of these guys are professional players, and they're professionals in their craft. And so you're doing it against the likes of Carson Palmer and Eli Manning. I know you have your own opinions on those guys, but those guys have been in the playoffs in their careers, been successful. Eli Manning's got a couple Super Bowl rings. So it's not like they're doing this against some undrafted quarterback who's just getting his first season of football under his belt. These guys are seasoned quarterbacks that the Lions defense has been able to put the clamps down on. And so I've been extremely impressed with that secondary. We've been talking about gas pedal or putting the foot on the brake a little bit with some of these areas for the Lions today, Brad. And I'm putting the foot on the gas with this secondary. I'm in neutral on the pass rush. I have some concerns with that defensive line for the Lions, but when you're getting pressure on the quarterback, and I understand it has to do with the offensive lines you're going up against, and we saw that against the Giants. That offensive line wasn't extremely strong, but when you have Ziggy Ansah and company, and Ziggy's attracting a lot of attention on one side of that defensive line, it's going to open up holes for A'Shaun Robinson and Haloti Ngata and some of these other playmakers on the defensive line, and for the likes of Tahir Whitehead, Jared Davis, and looks like Jared Davis is going to be okay down in Allen Park today. Didn't practice, but still involved with the team, so looking like a concussion isn't going to be a long-term problem for Davis, so that's good news. It's just going to open up so many other things when you have a playmaker like Ziggy Ansah who's healthy, in there for most plays, only coming out to take a blow once in a while. So I'm reading a little bit more into these two wins than you are, but still, at the end of the day, you can't deny the fact that the Lions are 2-0. Stafford's playing well under that new contract. He's not taking a back seat. He's being a leader. He's being smart with the football, which is pretty much all you can ask for a quarterback at this point. And he's got this team in a position to take a really big step on Sunday if they can get by the Falcons.
I think this is something, though, that not only concerns Brad in Bay City, but I'm sure there's other listeners and other fans of the Lions out there that have thought to themselves, especially after the game against the Giants, 17 points on offense, 122 yards passing for Matt Stafford, only 21 attempts. This is supposedly a gunslinger at the quarterback position that, again, as I touched on yesterday, has been neutered in this offense with Jim Bob Cooter and Jim Caldwell. What does that mean? They don't throw the ball downfield as much as you think they do. His yards per attempt has never been in the top 10 with this group of coaches. And right now it's 20th in the league. Yards per attempt, I mean, is like not some abstract stat. Like that's a stat that you can find on ESPN, Pro Football Reference, whatever it is. It gauges how deep the throws are for Matt Stafford down the field or how much yardage he's getting per attempt. Frankly, it's not very much. It's less than 7, which is below average in the NFL. This is not a vertical passing team. We saw him go deep once or twice total on 21 pass attempts against the Giants and complete passes. One of them, a 24-yard pass, I think it was, for a touchdown to Marvin Jones when he went up and mossed the corner.
And so
this is not a vertical passing team. So when I hear a guy like Brad from Bay City say he hasn't faced the pressure yet, he hasn't had to throw for 300 yards, even though we know he can, that was my concern yesterday. And again, on a 1 to 10 scale, if it's a 3 or 4 right now as my concern for a team that's neutered this offense, fine. Like, but there's a ceiling for this team. Like, there's no way this team wins 13, 14 games. Like, the ceiling is 10, 11 wins at the very best because they refuse to throw the ball downfield, as most teams do. Like, Matt Stafford, if I compare him to Alex Smith, and I just said, overall, Alex Smith, Matt Stafford, who's the game manager so far this season? It hasn't been Alex Smith. Alex Smith has thrown the ball downfield more than anybody in the league with the Chiefs. Considered a game manager all of his career. It's been Matt Stafford who's the game manager the last 2 weeks. And that doesn't sound right because he is the gunslinger. But at less than 7 yards per attempt, 20th in the league, they just don't throw the ball downfield. So maybe that's where the concern comes for Brad in saying that he hasn't faced the pressure yet. He hasn't needed to be the gunslinger just yet. But, like, that's a good thing. Like, if your quarterback doesn't need to throw the ball 50 times for 400 yards to get a win, you should be happy with that.
Sure, he faced the pressure, and he scrambled three or four times against the Giants when the pocket,
I don't know if he means pressure from pass rush. I think he means pressure like fourth down, fourth quarter, need a drive to win it, as if they did during the season last year eight or nine times. I think that's the pressure he's talking about.
And that's what I'm saying. He's faced the pressure in his career. I mean, so what if he's hasn't faced it through the first 2 weeks? They set the NFL record in fourth quarter comebacks last year. So just because he hasn't shown it this year, I understand maybe being in neutral, want to see how this offensive line, this backfield, and these wideouts are surrounding him, how they're going to react to some of those situations. I understand that part of it. But he's also shown it in his career that he has a flair for the theatric. He can make the throws. He can lead teams down the field. He did it against the Dallas Cowboys in one of the most famous comebacks in his career. He's done it against teams in crunch time in big situations. So that's why I'm taking off. I'm taking flight. I'm hitting the gas with Matthew Stafford this year. I think it's great that he's shown that he doesn't need to have that 35-40 attempt type game every single week. He threw it 41 times against the Cardinals, but then scaled it back a little bit, 21. And I think it's more than just Jim Caldwell and Jim Bob Cooter saying, "We're putting a leash on you. You can't do it. We're not going to let you do it." This guy's a veteran quarterback in the NFL. I think there's a lot more give and take in that quarterback meeting room with Jim Bob Cooter and Matthew Stafford of what do you think's going to work this week? What should we be doing this week? I don't want everyone to get this perception that Matthew Stafford's just a pawn in Jim Bob Cooter's offense. Stafford's the leader of this offense, and I think he gets a pretty big say in what's happening on the offensive side of the ball, and I think there was a definite game plan going into that game against the Giants, and the Lions executed it to near perfection because they came out of there with a win.
Let's head back to the Miller Lite hotline right now. We've got Maury on hold in Kentwood. Maury, how you doing today?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Real quick on Michigan, you know, it's obviously quarterback plays, you know, is always critical, and the verdict's definitely out on Wilton Spate. But that young offensive line and that young group of receivers, we just got to hope that they continue to improve with Tariq Black being out. That's, I don't know, it's not going to help us. Maybe Donovan Peoples-Jones gets steps up a little bit more and fills that void. But that's kind of how I see it in Ann Arbor. As far as the Lions go, you know, I'm seeing this is what I'm looking for in the Atlanta game. I want to see the game plan offensively and defensively against the defending NFC champs to see if they can put together something that will make this a fourth quarter game and at least give them a chance to compete and win this football game. That's really what I'm after here, because getting out coached is, you know, there's always been something that I've kind of noticed with the Lions that, you know, when it comes to playing elite level teams, that just seems to happen. And I'm really going to be watching to see if Terrell Austin can come up with a scheme that, you know, will put pressure on Matt Ryan, is going to control some of that, the passes out of the backfield to the running backs. Atlanta's so balanced offensively, and they're faster than ever on defense. So this is going to be a huge matchup talent-wise, and I'm just going to be real interested to see if they can step up and game plan for them and look like they know what they're doing. And if they do that, win or lose, then I'm going to be buying in a little bit more to this Lions team. Right now, it's too hard to say. That, you know, the first two games against those teams, those quarterbacks, that's hard to take too much away. I mean, let's face it, a road win's a road win, and those are tough to come by in the NFL, so we'll take that one. But this next Sunday game is really going to tell the tale for me.
And I'd agree with you wholeheartedly, Maury, out of Kenwood. Again, thanks for the call. Again, it doesn't seem like he's convinced on the level of opponent the Lions faced the first 2 weeks. I am not either. Obviously, Atlanta is a top dog. Like, they are a top three team in the NFL right now. I think unanimously considered that, whereas the Giants and the Cardinals are bottom third teams. Like, You know, at some point you need to make a judgment, and I think that's what you're pressuring me on, or you'd like to hear from me, is like, well, when is it okay to make a judgment on the Lions? If not after 2 weeks, and then they play the Falcons, and they're expected to lose anyway, like, you always hear the adage, you know, a series does not start until the home team loses. Mm-hmm. And right now, like, the Lions have held serve pretty much. They were favored against the Cardinals, or at least should have been. Against the Giants, for me, it was a coin flip. They won on the road. I gave them a check mark for that. I think they're ahead of schedule on making the playoffs, but they're still not overwhelmingly a positive for me. Yesterday, I was a happy medium. Happy because they're 2-0. They got two wins on their way to a postseason berth. But this was an 8-8 team, I thought, to start the year with a ceiling of making the playoffs and losing in the first round. And right now, they're at that ceiling. Like, they could fall back down, and they will if they lose to the Falcons. They're going to be 2-1, and you're going to think, oh boy, they have a loss now. They got to play the Vikings. They get the Vikings on the road. They still haven't played the Packers yet. It's going to start spinning in your head. And that's why I just sit in this week after 2-0, not wanting to draw any conclusions, because if they do lose to the Falcons, which I think they will, then people start coming back down to earth a little bit. All right, they're 2-1. Play a division opponent in the Vikings next week. Boy, if you lose that game, you're 2-2. Then where are you sitting? You know.
I agree, and I'm not saying that.
Maury seemed very level-headed with
his Lions. And I agree. That was a great call from Maury. I like that phone call. And the reason behind what I'm saying is, I just don't want to be dismissive of these first two wins. We're 2 weeks into the NFL season, and a couple weeks the regular season's going to be a quarter of the way over. I mean, I just don't want to dismiss the fact that the Lions have done maybe what should have been expected of them. And that's a lot more that can be said for this franchise and what they've done in recent years. Sometimes they've laid eggs when they should have easily won games at home against inferior opponents or anything like that. So, sure, I agree with you. I agree with Maury. Proof's going to be in the pudding come 4:30 on Sunday. After that game at Ford Field, which, by the way, I don't think can be understated enough, or overstated enough, that the game's at home. You don't have to go to Atlanta and play in a hostile environment, because no matter what happens, the place is going to be jumping for at least the first quarter, and I think that can play a role. You've seen it on Monday Night Football when the Lions have played home games at Ford Field, and the type of reactions they can get and the type of juice they can get from the home crowd. They had three false starts against the Bears that night on Monday Night Football. So if the place can be at a fever pitch come kickoff against Atlanta, that can be worth a point or two for you and maybe swing something for you early on in that game, because it's a lot easier to play with a lead, and Matthew Stafford has shown that. He doesn't have as much pressure on him when he's not forced to be airing it out consistently late in games to try and make all these comebacks. He's shown he can do it, but it makes his job a lot easier, and it makes the job on everyone a lot easier when you don't have to consistently play from 7-10 points behind in the fourth quarter every single week.
Let's get back to some callers. We head again to the Miller Lite Hotline. Mike in Coopersville. You know where Coopersville is?
Yeah, outside of GR.
All right. So, Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, thanks. You know, I think the Lions have – I'm really happy with their defense. I think they have a lot of potential on offense, but I still don't think their game plan, at least offensively, is perfect. I think in that Monday night game, they had a couple of – that they had that punt return – Brandon Marshall dropped a pass. I think they had some breaks, which overcame. I think they came out in the second half, and I thought they were predictable. They kept running on first down, sometimes on second down, giving the ball right back to New York when I don't think they should have at all. They should have been more aggressive. And I think, you know, all the fourth quarter comebacks last year were the reason, because I don't think they were aggressive enough early in the game, and I still think they kind of tend to lean that way, not to be aggressive enough.
I hear you, Mike, and I didn't want to break out the pessimist in me on this show for the last 2 days, but Mike has brought it out briefly. With the Giants, they shot themselves in the foot many of times in that game. Brandon Marshall, two drop passes. There were a couple pass breakups near the end zone. They had a delay of game penalty on a 4th-and-2 from the 2-yard line that was, frankly, ridiculous that they even wanted to go for it on 4th down and not take the points right away. I think the Giants shot themselves in the foot a lot. And when you talk about, a Giants team that's not very good to begin with, you wanted to see the Lions do more offensively. And I think that's where you struggle with it, especially because Amir Abdullah only ran the ball for about 2.5 yards a carry outside of that 34-yard run.
Right. And it seems like every time they run the ball, it's in a very predictable running situation. And I think they just need to mix it up more.
Well, Mike, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Continuing to talk about the Lions, Michigan, Michigan State today, the biggest issues, concerns with the Spartans and the Wolverines going into week four of the college football season. Lions, what are you buying? What are you selling? Or as we're talking today, what are you hitting the gas pedal on? What are you hitting the brake on? We've been talking about Matt Stafford, the rushing attack, the pass rush, the secondary, and the offensive line. Matt and I very high on the secondary, the offensive line, and Matt Stafford. Still not particularly sold, though, on the pass rush and the rushing attack. And that caller seemed to question the rushing attack, too, with Amir Abdullah. Again, take away that 34-yard run on Monday, and so far this season, he has been well below average at the running back position with an above-average offensive line. Continue to work our way towards the end of the show today. When we come back, we'll head back to the phone lines and continue to talk Michigan State, Michigan, and the Lions. You're listening to The Huge Show.
This is The Huge Show.
You're listening to Huge.
Lions trail 23-20 with 3 seconds left in this game here in Green Bay. Stafford will have one final play with 4th and 11 coming up from the Packers 47. Trips on the left side. Single receiver on the right side is Marvin Jones with double coverage. Here's a snap. Stafford will take it. Here comes heavy pressure on the right side from Matthews and Peppers. Stafford will spin around. He plants and he throws to the end zone. And that's going to be caught by Jones. Hail Mary! The Lions win it 26-23.
He's one of the most prolific R&B artists of all time, Keith Sweat. Saturday, October 21st, Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Keith Sweat. With special guest, Freddie Jackson.
You are my lady.
Experience a masterpiece of slow songs and up-tempo jams. Saturday, October 21st, Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Keith Sweat. Tickets on sale now at the Eagles Landing or Soaring Eagle box office and online at etix.com. Central Michigan's entertainment destination, Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort.
Huge here for my good friends at Meijer. Now, tailgating is in full swing right now, high school, college, and pro games, and Meijer has some huge deals this week for all of you tailgaters. Licensed team apparel is buy one, get one 50% off. What a great way to follow your local teams. And also save $20 on a 12x12 slant leg canopy for your tailgate, and keep drinks cold in a Coleman Extra 5-Day Wheel Cooler, only $34.99, plus get a 32-ounce pack of Bubba Burgers for only $9.99, and packs of Oscar Mayer Franks or smoked sausages are 2 for $6, and serve all that food on hefty foam plates. 50-count packs are 3 for $5 at your tailgate headquarters for that high school, college, or pro game, your local Mayer. And don't forget to gear up for your local teams inside the Mayer Team Gear Department. Mayer, proud sponsor of the Big 10 and more.
This is the Huge Radio Network.
I'm Brad Tunney. He is Matt DeVries. We're joining you on the Huge Show today, filling in for Bill Simonson, who will be back broadcasting live from East Lansing tomorrow to preview the Spartans against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish this weekend. Make sure you tune in tomorrow beginning at 3 o'clock all across the Huge Radio Network. Today, though, we've been looking back at the Monday night victory for the Lions over the Falcons. They play the Falcons this weekend. Hopefully, that's forward thinking on my part there.
Absolutely.
They hopefully beat the Falcons. They won't, but they beat the Giants on Monday.
We had a caller earlier today that called the Lions by 10 over Atlanta at Ford Field.
That's so ridiculous.
We'll see about that. I don't know about ridiculous, but definitely deck is stacked against the Lions heading into week three with the defending Super Bowl runner-ups waiting to be make their way back to the Super
Bowl. You're right over there?
I'm fine.
Yeah. We've crippled ourselves into the start of this segment. So
yeah,
hopefully Tom
limping,
from GR can
limping.
Help us out. We'll head to the phone
help
line
us.
Now where
help
Tom wants to chime in on the Huge Radio Network. How you doing, Tom?
Good. How are you guys? You're doing a good job.
Doing well.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Filling in well for you, you'd be proud. First, I'd like to give a shout-out to the E-Man, the morning show guy on BBL.
Eric Zane. Eric Zane.
Secondly, yeah, Eric Zane. I call him the E-Man.
Nice.
Little nickname for him. Regarding the Lions, I've been watching the Lions. I'm 54 years old, and I've been watching the Lions with my starting with my old man when I was four. And this is the first year I'm actually excited about watching the turning on the TV to see how they're doing. For once, I think they got everything in place. They got a good GM. He's putting all the pieces of the puzzle together. It's not happening overnight. That's why those guys are out there aren't satisfied yet. You give them one or two more years, and not saying they can't do something this year, like win a playoff game, maybe even two. But he's putting a line together. That's something that we've always need. The hater being hurt on defense definitely hurt us. He was a sack force last year, and I just think they're doing a great job. I think they're a well-balanced team, and I'm excited about it. Regarding the Blue and Maize, I think they're going to take it to the Purdue this weekend, and I think they're going to put a whooping on State in 2 weeks.
Well, that's good to hear your optimism with some of the teams in the state of Michigan, Tom, and glad to see that you can enjoy some of the Lions football once again with your old man, so that's good to see. Thanks for the call, Tom, and GR. And
can't put a whooping on the Spartans because they don't play until 3 weeks.
That's true.
So, unfortunately for Tom, it's not going to be happening.
Well, they're
going to
put a whooping on Notre Dame this weekend.
Who's that?
Michigan State.
Yeah, I don't think Tom's much of a Michigan State fan, though. I'm pretty sure he's maize and blue until he dies. You can hear that coming through pretty clear. I'm just saying. that's pretty accurate right there. I mean, saying they're going to put a whooping on State in 2 weeks, but they don't play for 3 weeks.
Well, wait a second. Are they playing 2 or 3 weeks?
No, you got Michigan State, Notre Dame, then Iowa, Michigan State in 2 weeks, and then Michigan State, Michigan, 3 weeks.
That would be 3 weeks. Well, I mean, 2 weeks after this week.
Okay. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I didn't mean to derail you. I'm just spitting facts over here.
Yeah, well, you're spitting on me. No, I'm just kidding. So he brought up Lions hope, right? And
yeah.
I think this is to take a step from that. I guess you could say this is the most hope you've had on a Lions team since 2011, right? The start of a season.
I guess, yeah. But like you said, it's only been 2 weeks, and I think the hope is going to ratchet up to a new level. If they can take care of business on Sunday, it's going to be one of their toughest games of the entire season, and it's already going to be in week 3.
Well, they've got the tough Panthers coming up in like week 5, Matt.
Yeah.
You love the Panthers.
I mean, divisional games are on a different level. You've got the Vikings, you've got the Packers.
I still think the Packers on the road is as tough as it gets. It's week 17.
Yeah, that's not going to be fun.
Is it
week 17?
It was last year.
I didn't know that if it's week 17.
They always play week 17.
At home. Okay. They get Green Bay November 6th, so it still could be pretty cold. Monday Night Football again, November 6th for the Lions at Green Bay.
They get two Monday Night games this year?
Absolutely.
Undeserved.
Yeah, and they get Sunday Night Football the week before at home against the Steelers.
Three.
And that, depending on what happens at the end of the year, that Sunday night game, week 17 game could be flexed into Sunday night again.
Really?
Just like it was last year. But the Lions couldn't take care of business last year in week 17 against the Packers. The big question mark and the big concern for everyone heading into the weekend is, can they live up to their 2-0 billing? Can they play the Atlanta Falcons, one of the best teams in the NFL, as tough as they played the Arizona Cardinals and New York Giants? The jury's still out. You got to be able to have good O-line play. Matthew Stafford needs time, and you need to keep the defense honest by running the football. I understand that 2.5 yard per carry stat you keep throwing out for Amir Abdullah. I understand that, but it's not all his fault. I know the offensive line has been graded out well so far through the first 2 weeks, but like you said, good grades against maybe inferior opponents, and so can TJ Lang, can Ricky Wagner open up some holes, give a little bit of space, just a shred of space for Amir Abdullah and Theo Riddick and the like to try and open up some holes, just keep that defense honest so they can be passing in second and six, second and five, instead of second and nine, second and 10 and 11.
Let's get back to the phone lines. Matthew, Miller Lite hotline. We jump right outside of the ballpark. Staying in Midland, we take a look at Hunter. How you doing? Hunter, you're on the Huge Show.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing today? What do you got for us?
Michigan State this weekend. Notre Dame, I think it's finally a first real test. I think it looked pretty good so far versus no real competition yet. I think maybe Western Michigan was a decent opponent for them, but their defense definitely looked good in that game. And it was good to see Brian Lewerke with a nice run show us something out of the pocket a little bit there. But Notre Dame this week, primetime game. I'm sure the house is going to be rocking there in East Lansing, but I don't know if their defense is going to be able to hold up versus the pass game from Notre Dame. A little young out there. Offensive-wise, running backs hasn't looked anything special. I think we need to get Mondre London, third down back. I don't see why he's running the ball here in the first and second downs. He's a power back. We need to use him on third downs, and I think we're wearing him out too early there in the count. Wide receiver, I think Felton Davis is the only one who's proved anything to me so far. And I think Brian Lewerke's a good quarterback here, and I think he needs more options to work with. And no tight end-wise that Michigan State used to have him back when they had Price, and they can't run the plays that they used to run with the tight end they have now. I mean, I think that it's going to be a tough for them to take a win this weekend.
Hunter, thanks for the call in Midland. And first guy really jumping on the show today that has dove deep into Michigan State. And Matt, you're going down to East Lansing this weekend to watch the game, correct? You are a Brian Lewerke fan?
Absolutely, yeah. I think the Michigan State offense was poised to be a little bit better than what they showed in their 3-9 campaign last year until Brian Lewerke broke his leg. So with him under center now, healthy, and another offseason under his belt to try and lead this Michigan State offense, sure, you can criticize the play call. Calling Dave Warner and Jim Bowman, calling the plays for Michigan State on the offensive side of the ball. I understand that. But the concern for me is the run game. I mean, Brian Lewerke is your leading rusher, but he's also your quarterback. You can't have that. LJ Scott, Mondre London, Gerald Holmes, a guy out of Flint that we're familiar with in this area of the state. You got to give these guys chances to open up some holes and try and put yourself in some better situations, much like the Lions, like we've been talking about with their run game as well. I'm a big fan of that defense. Maybe not as potent or as stout as the Michigan Wolverine defense led by Don Brown, but I think that unit right now for Michigan State through the first couple weeks is certainly poised to take a big step this weekend, and that's what's really going to be the calling card for this win if Michigan State can get it. The defense has to play well. Notre Dame showed they can hang with Georgia, and I agree with Hunter a little bit. Can Michigan State slow down this Notre Dame offense? They're a program that is always going to have talent. It's just a matter of if that talent's going to play to their full potential or if the coaches are going to put that talent into a position to win. It was much like what the Michigan Wolverines did through the lean years. They had plenty of playmakers, plenty of top recruits. It was just they didn't live up to the billing. Notre Dame's going to be a talented team coming into East Lansing. Prime time, plenty of pressure going to be on the Spartans in this game. It's a matter of if they can slow down the Irish enough and make a couple plays on offense, honestly.
1-866-838-4843. That is 1-866-838-HUGE to jump on the Miller Lite hotline today. Join myself and Matt DeVries. We have a caller, Matt, coming from one of your favorite places.
Love it.
That you've recently visited. That's Las Vegas. An online listener, Louie, joining the program. He is on the Huge Show.
Hey, fellas. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Great.
Okay. Hey, listen, I don't understand all this anti-Lions talk, to be honest with you. I mean, they were an underdog against Arizona, and they won. Arizona was going to maybe battle Seattle, you know, for the West. The Giants maybe were going to win the NFC East, maybe not now looking at that. But that doesn't take anything away from what Bob Quinn has done. It doesn't take anything away from what Matt Stafford and paying him and surrounding him with where they're going. And I don't know why people aren't believing – you know, in our Lions. I mean, I get it. I do get it because, you know, I grew up in Detroit, so I understand that. But from a betting standpoint, I'm like, you're kidding me, right? And I think the wrong team is favored. Atlanta's favored by 3 at Detroit, and I think the wrong team is favored. So I'm looking for another, you know, happy Sunday.
Louie, what else are you doing out there in Vegas? You playing any of the tables, or are you just strictly in the sports book?
Yeah, no, I ran a racing sports book for 7 years. I think Bill and I have talked about this a couple times, but no, that's my thing. Major League Baseball and NFL football. I don't do that. When people come up from Michigan and visit and this and that, it's just way different. Like when you live here, like people are like, oh, are you a blackjack dealer? I'm like, no, I run a racing sports book. Come on.
Stop, okay.
Don't go down that road. So yeah, no, but it's different when you visit here. And it is like living anywhere else. I mean, maybe not. Yeah, it's like living in Grand Rapids, maybe, or maybe Midland where you guys are at, I think. But yeah, it is what it is, and the discipline is the thing. And I'm a huge fan of Bob Quinn, and I'm a huge fan of Matt Stafford, and I'm a huge fan of our Lions. And I've been on the right side of things, and I had a great Monday night last week, 2 days ago, telling you, right now. And I'm right back on them again with the Atlanta thing. The line hasn't moved at all. Atlanta's still 3, and you're kind of like, okay, all right, fine. So I'm going to take a shot, and that's what I do, and I love it.
Well, Louie, we appreciate the call from out in Vegas listening online as we fill in for Bill today. That's great stuff. Matt, what do you think? Louie's still feeling it for Monday night?
That is awesome.
I mean, it's Wednesday.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Louie's throwing down.
Oh, I'm still living. Oh, I'm living the dream right now, dude.
Love it, man.
You want the number? I'll give you the number. It's about close to 15 grand. I'll tell you. It was just short of that.
We're good. We're good, Louie. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. And I'm with him. I think there's some positives with the Lions, and maybe not to the extent of where we should be making sure that the Lions are really, really favored against the Falcons. I think you can't sell them short.
First of all, they shouldn't be favored against the Falcons. Let's get that straight.
They went to the Super Bowl last year. They were the class of the NFC, and you have Matt Ryan and all of the weapons that the Falcons offense have coming into town to Ford Field. So, I'm with him, though. I think there is some room for optimism, and I think more people should be respecting what the Lions have done through the first 2 weeks than maybe they're getting credit for. But still, at the end of the day, like we've been talking about the last couple days on this show, you've got the Falcons coming into Ford Field. That is a chance to make a statement and say to the rest of the NFL, we're here, we're 3-0, and we're for real. You got to take us serious.
Early returns on a couple of the moves that Bob Quinn has made, and Louie brought up his trust in Bob Quinn and how good he has been since jumping aboard with the Lions. Early returns on a couple of those pieces. First and foremost, the signing of Ricky Wagner at right tackle. The most expensive offensive tackle or offensive lineman that the Lions have is the highest paid true right tackle in all of football, and he is playing accordingly, currently graded as the number 5 tackle in all of football, and he plays right tackle. I mean, that a lot of those guys that are rated highly play left tackle because they have more opportunity, they're doing it against better linemen, and he has done it against two of the top ends in football, Arizona's Chandler Jones and New York's Jason Pierre-Paul. Ricky Wagner giving him big money. Early returns look great. Getting T.J. Lang, a Pro Bowler who has looked great. 30 dropbacks for Stafford on Monday night. One pressure coming from the right guard position. Again, a side of the line where Jason Pierre-Paul plays. Excellent returns on the right side of the line early on. The paying of Matt Stafford, that looks to be a great deal. A top 10 quarterback in this league easily. And when you look at some of the other pieces that other franchises are working with at the quarterback position, it would have made no sense to not pay Matt Stafford. Finally, the drafting of Jared Davis. He has been excellent right now in concussion protocol. You hope he gets a return early on.
You've had Bob Quinn in-house for a little over a year, maybe 2 years now, and coming over from the Patriots, working with Bill Belichick, and the type of expertise that he's bringing to this franchise, you can't talk about it enough. I mean, he's brought some stability with Jim Caldwell and him together making these front office moves. I think it's only going to continue to bring the fruits of the labor to the forefront for the Lions, and plenty of positives moving forward with all the moves that he's made.
We're going to take a timeout. We've got one final segment to get to on the Huge Show. If you want to chime in with the final minutes that we have remaining, give us a call, 1-866-838-4843, 1-866-838-HUGE.
Huge opinions on the Tigers, only on the Huge Radio Network.
Nowadays, it's Doubler Days from the Michigan Lottery. Want to make your day? Then don't miss Doubler Days for Club Keno, Lotto 47, and Fantasy 5. Each day this month, random tickets will contain a Doubler message. If your winning ticket has the message, it's your lucky day, because you can double your non-jackpot prize money.
Huge here for my good friends at Meijer. Now, tailgating is in full swing right now, high school, college, and pro games, and Meijer has some huge deals this week for all of you tailgaters. Licensed team apparel is buy one, get one 50% off. What a great way to follow your local teams. And also save $20 on a 12x12 slant leg canopy for your tailgate, and keep drinks cold in a Coleman Extra 5-Day Wheel Cooler, only $34.99. Plus, get a 32-ounce pack of Bubba Burgers for only $9.99, and packs of Oscar Mayer Franks or smoked sausages are 2 for $6, and serve all that food on hefty foam plates. 50-count packs are 3 for $5 at your tailgate headquarters for that high school, college, or pro game, your local Mayer. And don't forget to gear up for your local teams inside the Mayer Team Gear Department. Mayer, proud sponsor of the Big 10 and more.
As a pro quarterback, connecting with a receiver in mid-stride leads to good things. In business, connecting with the right partners means even more. This is Kirk Cousins to tell you about the awesome lending team at Mercantile Bank. They know the route to success, and they keep their playbook open to bring new ideas and solutions to clients facing the opportunities presented by growth. They're smart, insightful, and the epitome of team players. Tired of always playing defense? Perhaps it's time you contacted the lending pros at Mercantile Bank. Mercantile Bank, here to get you there.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is the Huge Radio Network.
Back one final time today on the Huge Show. I am Brad Tunney. He is Matt DeVries. Thanks for popping on with us throughout the show today. Wherever you may be listening, whether it be on the west side of the state, in mid-Michigan, or over here in the Great Lakes Bay region, on ESPN 100.9 FM, we appreciate you tuning in, giving us some interaction on the Miller Lite hotline, 1-866-838-4843.
Great
we talked a lot today.
Great calls.
Yeah, about the Lions, about Michigan State. Middle of the week, so not really time to preview some of those matchups, but we did a little bit of that yesterday and today, specifically with the Lions taking on the Atlanta Falcons this week. We believe it's to be one of the biggest matchups, not just on the schedule for the Lions, but the biggest matchup this week in the NFL. It's a game that I think not only will local eyeballs be on, but eyeballs from around the country. And I don't know if the Lions get that very often outside of being, say, a Monday Night Football or a Sunday Night Football game, but this is one of those games.
Absolutely. You got a London game happening at 9:30. That's Ravens-Jaguars. That's not going to do much. Your Sunday Night games, Oakland-Washington, that's a pretty good game. And Dallas-Arizona is a little bit of a limper on Monday Night Football. So, I mean, you've got the late game Bengals-Packers. That's not going to move the needle. And Seattle-Tennessee at 4:05 on Sunday afternoon. So I think right there the Lions are going to be right in the mix in the talk of all the pregame coverage you're going to be hearing on Sunday mornings. Whatever you watch, whatever you listen to, it's going to be Falcons, Lions, a big part of the conversation. And if you can find a ticket, if you're willing to pay for it, I'd encourage you to get down to Ford Field, because that's going to be a pretty fun atmosphere to be involved in with a 2-0 Falcons team, a Super Bowl runner-up from a year ago coming into Ford Field. And thankfully for the Lions, they only have to play them once this year, and they're going to be playing them at home instead of at the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Or, better option, don't spend any money, find a stream of NFL Red Zone, sit down on your couch, and enjoy it.
When's the last time you enjoyed going to a sporting event as a fan? Never?
Never.
Just thinking out loud here.
Going to Lions games are awful.
I'm going to have a lot of fun in East Lansing this weekend at Spartan
Going
Stadium.
To college football games are fun.
Yeah.
The tailgate, like going to Lions games.
You can't
games,
tailgate at a Lions game?
You can, but I just don't know if it does it for me the same
okay.
way.
I'm just saying.
You don't get the band playing.
Falcons, Lions. The Lions have a chance to make a huge statement this weekend, Brad. And it's a chance for the Lions to say to the rest of the league that they're for real and to be taken seriously. And if Matthew Stafford can manage the game well, Greg Robinson can stay out of penalty trouble at left tackle on
and
that offensive line.
Because he sucks.
And if the secondary can continue to play well, if the defensive line can benefit from the attention Ziggy Ansah is going to be getting on that defensive line, chance to make a lot of noise around the NFL with the Lions this weekend. Michigan should get a win. Michigan State, big game over Notre Dame.
Not going to say that they should get a win too, huh?
I'm just saying. I'm not... Michigan State will probably beat Notre Dame. I'll take Michigan State by a touchdown over Notre Dame. Michigan by two scores at least.
Pressure on Matt DeVries. He's going to be down in East Lansing this weekend watching that game. Again, big thanks to Bill and his listening audience for letting us fill in yesterday and today. Had a lot of fun here
thanks
on ESPN 100.9 FM. And, yeah, thanks to Superfly Hayes for having us on board as well. Until next time, Bill back tomorrow.